steal him from the service. And I was like, hey, listen, what's written on the CD and what's popping up are two completely different songs, and I'm scared to death the wrong music is going to play. But I tell you, God's got it all worked out, and sometimes he likes to hit the devil for me and get things. Today we're going to be in the book of Luke. If you have your Bibles, you're more than welcome to go ahead and turn there. We're going to be in Luke chapter 19. It is Palm Sunday. Y'all say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, y'all are some good Free Will Baptists. Most Free Will Baptists don't know that word. Do y'all know how to raise your hands too? Look at y'all. I tell you what. Man, it's Palm Sunday. And to me, this particular text on Palm Sunday always, it has been separate from the others, because they have an addition in this text that the other Gospels leave out. And it revolves around this issue of praise, worship, adoration. We're going to sing, we're going to read these verses together. If you will, please stand for the reverence of the reading of God's Word. We're going to be in Luke chapter 19. We're going to start in verse 32 and go to verse 40. Verse 32 starts as this: and they that were sent went their way and found even as he said unto them, being the donkey that Jesus told them to go and get. Verse 33 continues, and he says, and as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And he said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. And as he went, and he spread their clothes in the way. A lot of other of the Gospels also say they laid down the palm branches, which is why we get Palm Sunday from this text. Verse 37 says, and when he was come nigh, even at the descent of the Mount of Olives, and the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice of the almighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, and glory in the highest. And this is where it differs from the other Gospels. Some of the Pharisees that were around came forth from among the multitudes and said unto him, Master, these half-hearted Pharisees, the ones that were close enough to Jesus to call him Master, but never understanding what it was that he was teaching, said, rebuke thy disciples. Why? For the things that they said. Verse 40 ends, and he says, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. The name of my title today is The Praise of Fickle People. I like to use that word. The praise of fickle people. There's a lot that comes out of this text, and I hope it's a blessing to you in your walk, but also with how we see the world today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this text. I thank you for Luke's understanding and his writing. Lord, for giving us this little addition to where we understand that there were some people who did not wish for people to praise him. Lord, help us to not hear the naysayers, the spiritual on the surface but empty in their heart kind of people. Lord, help us to lift high our voices, especially during this Easter season, where we recognize your death and resurrection. What a wonderful place to be as a Christian, at the foot of the cross and at the entrance of that empty grave. Lord, bring us there even to this day, and help us to praise you with hallelujahs and hosannas on our lips. Lord, help our hearts to be near unto you. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Our Lord, Savior, and friend. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I promise you I won't ask you to stand until the end of the service. How about that? Like I said earlier, this particular gospel is unique because of those last two verses. Every other book tells us that they just marched in and nobody interrupted, nobody came and talked. But I love this one verse has always stuck out. Verse 40, and he says, and he answered and said to them, I tell you that if they should hold their peace. Now, this is a little sermon extra from what I've got, okay? So y'all just hold, see, I'm preaching two sermons, y'all just hold tight. I promise we're going to get out of here enough so you can get lunch. He says, if people would just, if they would hold their peace, if they would listen to the naysayers, then nature itself would cry out because it is necessary that I be praised. Now think about the wonderful thought and the communication that's happening here. Jesus is the most humble man that have ever walked the earth. The literal Christ, God incarnate. And as he's leading his way to die for your sins and my sins, somebody says, hey, don't let these commoners, these normal people, praise you. He says, if I stop, the rocks would cry out. Matter of fact, in the book of Psalms, it tells us many times that the oceans would clap their hands for the glory of God. The mountains would reek asunder, and it would rip asunder. They would rip asunder in praise and give glory to God. This is Palm Sunday. I want us to look at the people praising God here. I want us to look at the Pharisees that are trying to stop the praise. And more importantly, I want us to talk about why we should keep praising. My first point is dealing with people and praise. I always find this to be an interesting text because I see Jesus here knowing that's what's going to happen in the days ahead. When I first was taught this text, when I first got saved, it was taught to me that the people that praised him at this moment were the same people that screamed, crucify him the next. Now, I really don't have that information. I remember that very distinctly. But I really don't know if the disciples that have come and praised him right now are the same disciples who cried, crucify him. But I do know this. I do know that they did not defend him. I know for a fact that the only man that helped Jesus carry out of his cross was a guy that wasn't around. It was not a disciple. It was not a follower. I know that when they hung on the cross, there were only but a few disciples there. So I will say this. I don't know if they flipped, but I do know that they ran away. They held their peace in the most needed time. Matter of fact, if you read through these stories and how fast it goes through, from this triumphal entry when Jesus comes in and they're shouting hosannas and praises, we tend to forget how wonderful this moment is because it is eclipsed by the brutality of his suffering. Shock of the disciples who ran away. We see so much betrayal and so much hardship in the days to come that this gets overshadowed. It's funny, you see humanity at its greatest zenith at this point. It's at the very tip top where they or adoring Christ and praising him. Let me tell you something. It's easy to sing praises in a church. Y'all say amen to that. It is so welcoming to know that we all sing the same song in hosannas and hallelujahs, and we come together in one voice. Some of us off key, but we still sing together. We love to lift him up here, and this is really the triumphal entry. This is where things get easy, but it's at the crucifixion. It's when everybody is shouting, Christ is a hypocrite. Christ is not a God. Christ is evil. Crucify him is what the world shouts. And the Christians in that crowd are not to be seen. It's easy to sing praises in the good times. But I tell you, it's very important that in the difficult times we sing. When everybody's telling us not to, we are called to be people of praise. Psalms 34 is one of my favorite verses, one of my favorite psalms. And it starts out, he says, his praise will continually be on my tongue. I will never stop praising the wonderful God that has given to me all that he has. I find it interesting that God, knowing the things that are to come, did not stop and give them that last little good message. Because what I thought would be better than praise is the last sermon to all the people who enjoy the good times and get scared in the bad times. I can just, in the perfect scenario, I would imagine Jesus getting off of the colt, looking at his people and says, listen, I thank you so much for the welcoming into this town, for the welcoming unto my end journey right here. But he says, I want you to continue this. Jesus could have had a attaboy kind of guy right next to him when he was praying in the garden. He asked his disciples, hey, pray with me this small time. And every time he went back, what were they doing? They were, to have one man be that encourager, to have that one man still continuing to sing the hosannas just the days prior. What an amazing thing would have been to have one disciple grasp the understanding of what this day meant. Now, here's something I want us to remember. I'm not being hard on them. Because I don't know about you. I don't remember a lot of my birthdays growing up. There's a few that were above all the rest of them. Great birthdays, great Christmases. But they're vague in comparison to all the butt whoopings I received when I was a kid. I remember them distinctly. I remember the bad a lot clearer than I remember the good. There's something that I want us to see here. Let me turn my microphone on. Jesus knew how fickle and fearful people were going to be. But he did not stop the praise. I want you to know something. The people that have sung next to you today will not be able to sing next week or a year from now. It's amazing for us to think about the liberty and the freedoms that we have at this very moment. We have a voice. How many of y'all have a voice? Raise your hand. What an amazing gift. I've met people who are not able to speak. I don't know about you, but I was able to walk here today. And granted, I only had a, short distance. But I was able to. What an amazing thing that I am able to come to church and sit in a padded pew with air conditioning, amen. What an incredible thing that I get to be a part of. And I have this moment to join my spirit and my soul and my song with many others to sing praises to one God. What an amazing thing. And we take lightly these things on any given Sunday. It's amazing how Jesus did not stop their praise. He wanted it to keep going. He did not want to stop to educate them because their praise was valuable. Let me tell you something. I am not the best singer. We've had a lot of new people come in since I've said this last time. When I went to college, I tried to join choir. They said, no. We have about 50, 60 people here, and you're still that bad. We don't want you anywhere near our people. It may be contagious. And I was bitter, and I'm still a little bitter because I still talk about it sometimes. But I recognized something in that very moment. I may not be able to sing in a choir. I may not be able to sing specials. But I love to sing. I may sound like Kermit the Frog sometimes, but I can sing my heart out because it's genuine. The Bible has never, ever gave us a criteria. You can only sing in a fellowship of believers if you are this good. You can only lift up your voice and your hands if you're in a certain church. The Bible has never gave those criteria. As a matter of fact, it gave the exact opposite. They said, if you have a voice, sing. Lift up a joyful, see, y'all all know what I'm talking about. It may be noisy, but I love the noise. Matter of fact, in a Christian setting, in a church setting, as much as I love harmony, if I had a million people with different pitches, tones, whatever they are, without being in harmony, I don't care. Because that's a million people coming together and singing one song together to lift up one God. What an amazing thing. Jesus knew they were going to be fearful. He knew that they were going to stand, but he dealt with them as they were and let them sing because their song had value. We are not promised a chance to praise with liberty tomorrow. We only have the moment that we are given right now. I probably should preach this sermon before we sing, shouldn't I? We're given today. This is Palm Sunday. If there was ever a day to throw out our voice in singing, this would be it. This is the day that we welcome Him for His sacrifice. We praise Him because He has done many great things, and I have seen them. How many of you, you've ever seen God do a great thing in your lives? Amen. Harness that energy. Harness that thought when we sing. Lift Him up. We are commanded and encouraged to have a spirit of praise. Point blank, God's people are supposed to praise. We're supposed to sing. It's what draws us together. It's our voice. And what I love about singing, especially in biblical times, it didn't need an instrument. Because not only can I not sing, I can't play anything either. I am musically intolerant. I begin to break out in hives when I begin singing in public or playing a guitar. I can't do it well. But here's the thing I can do. I can mean the words that I say. I can genuinely sing. And I made this commitment to myself a long time ago. If there's a song that I don't know, I read it. I know it. I want it to be real to me before I sing it. Because listen, I don't want to sing anything that I don't believe. How many of y'all agree with that? I'm not going to sing Amazing Grace if I don't know that grace is amazing. I'm not going to sing There's a Fount Filled with Blood if I've never known it. I can sing genuine. And there's something I've come to enjoy in my life. The more genuine songs I know, the more I sing. I have a good friend of mine. He's a pastor. He's a missionary pastor now. He went to Texas. And he says, songs hit a lot different when they're personal. How many of y'all know that? You ever hear a praise song on the radio and it means something to you? You connect with it on a very personal level. It brings something back that a sermon was preached or a day that you gave your life over to God or that moment that it changed your life and that song understands you. It resonates with you. And you crank that song up and you just praise. Mine changes from week to week. I have a different song that means differently to me every single time I listen. I'll hear something. God will give me a song and it'll just be there. And I'll sing that song. It's funny when you start talking about critics and singing, because that's what we have here. Well, if you will, go back to verse 39. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Stop them from singing. I don't think they didn't think that they were the best. They just thought it was inappropriate. It says this is inappropriate. They should not be calling you the things that they're calling you. Why make a scene? That was the problem, is that their song made a scene. Now listen, I'm not trying to be super spiritual here, but if our songs don't make a scene, If we are only singing in private or hallelujahs or hosannas, if we're only singing in the private areas where nobody else can hear us, I'm going to tell you something. The Pharisees are okay with you. Does that make sense? If we are holding back our song, if we are holding back our praise to where nobody can hear us, the Pharisees are perfectly fine with that. And the devil's okay with that too. The problem that the Pharisees had is they did it in public. That they had a song that was going to blow them up if they didn't let something loose. So they're there in the main part of the street. They're taking off their jackets and they're throwing it into the aisles and they're letting Jesus walk on their clothes. They're grabbing the palm branches and putting it down and they're saying, "Hosannas to the King of Kings! This is a great Messiah that has come to us." And the Pharisees in the distance says, "This is too much of a scene." In other descriptions of the triumphal entry, you see other Pharisees in the distance saying, "Everything that we've done has been done to naught. Because look what's happening." They're singing out loud and more people are joining in. This is a problem that we can't fix. Some of these half-hearted Pharisees that had the courage enough to come in and call him master. Please tell them to stop. I love Jesus' response, verse 40. "And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if they should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." I don't know if the people singing and the people praising and the people worshiping heard the Pharisees, "It's not given to us." But I can only imagine as the critics critiqued, as they tried to stop the praise, it didn't waver them. Jesus was not going to stop them and he wasn't going to encourage stopping either. He wanted them to praise out loud. He wanted them to envelop this moment where they had an opportunity to sing and cry out to God. Ever since I was told I couldn't be part of the choir, let me tell you another. I told you that I took it apart that I could sing genuine. And I sang. I sang all the time. And my sweet mates and the people that lived by me hated it. So much so, I had a good friend of mine that told me that I sang like Helen Keller. Some of y'all will Google that when you go home and you'll get that. I had no voice, but I also didn't mind critics. I said, "You can make fun of me all you want, but it's not going to stop me. It's not going to stop my song. It's not going to stop my singing. It's not going to stop me as a preacher, and I'm never going to criticize anybody in their song because I love to hear God's people sing. If Jesus did not stop them, I'm not going to stop them either." We're called to sing. Good, bad, or indifferent, we're called to sing. We're called to praise. I don't mind the critics. Without them, I'd have nothing to work on. But I do not praise because of critics. I do not praise because of their snide remarks. I refuse to criticize and I refuse to give up because it is the very same spirit that drives me from Christ. To criticize others or to stop singing would be exactly what the Pharisees and the devil would want. Can I get an amen? That was a good place to amen. Y'all say y'all raise your hands, but you don't amen at the right time. We are called to sing by not singing, by not praising, by not taking those moments that we're given. We lose. We're giving heed to the Pharisees. We're listening to the whispers of the devil. So I have this last question. Why stop? If Palm Sunday is such an important day to praise, why shouldn't it every day be? How many of y'all know Easter is a magnificent time of year? Y'all say amen. Amen. Why does Easter have to stop? Why does the singing have to stop? Why do the praises have to stop? Why do the prayers of adoration have to stop when the season ends? Oh, would not the Bible had it been written every different if a disciple would have just been there with Jesus when he was praying? Would have been there at the kangaroo court when they told him that he was not what it is, if they had a disciple that stood there with him? If it had not been three men on the cross, but four. If not just one person would have had the courage to praise. What an amazing thing that would have been. But men are fickle. Humanity is fickle. We have good days, we have bad. We listen to critics and we're scared. How many of y'all resonate with that? You didn't do something because of what somebody thought. Every time I've listened to those verses, I've hurt more at the end of when I did not do it. If you look back on your life and you remember when you've listened to those critics and you hushed your praise, when you step back, you've hurt more at the end of it because you wish the rest of your life, I wish I'd have done it. It would have been right to do it. Jesus will not stop you. This church will not stop you. We are called to praise. To those who desire closeness with Christ, you have free rein. I believe that the people who were praising God were the ones that were closest to Him. As they cast their clothes before that colt, as they cast the palm branches, they were as close to Christ as they ever could be. The most genuine praises come with life-altering actions. Church, as we get ready to close, I want to bring this sermon home. I'm going to ask some questions, and I want those questions to mean something. Because I'm a full believer that if I just got up here and preached and I did a good job, you know, shaking that bush and chucking that corn, that's all grand. But until we've applied what it was that God's Word states, it's done nothing for you, and I'm a terrible pastor. So how do we apply Palm Sunday to an everyday life? Well, I want to ask you something. Does your family know that you sing praises outside of church? That's convicting. Because in a world, the world is full of music. You sing it, you hear it everywhere you go. You go to the grocery store, you go to a car dealership, you go down the road, you turn on a radio. There's not a single moment in your life that's not have some music attached to it. Hear me out. Go out today. Go anywhere you want, and I promise you, there's going to be something playing in the background. You go to a fancy restaurant, what do they got in the background? Music. Matter of fact, I didn't even be brave enough to say this. If you go to the beach, I'll bet you somebody's got a boombox. Music's filled. Why shouldn't it be good music? Why shouldn't it be music that we praise? And here's the thing, why should we be ashamed of it? Does your family know that you sing praises, even if it's not in church? Because I embarrass my family. I want us to be able to sing with confidence and know that nobody in this church is going to judge you. Nobody in God's kingdom is going to judge you. And the people that do judge you, guess what? They have a very similar spirit to the Pharisees. My second question. Is the life-altering change that's accompanied with this praise, are we laying down our clothes, our lives? Are we sacrificing to make a way for God into our own lives? Do we just come in and go out? Or do we welcome God in and try to retain Him? This is not something that goes with discipline, by the way, because we're fickle. When you get to that, y'all know what fickle means? Fickle means wishy-washy. It means that I'm good this day, but I'm bad tomorrow. I want McDonald's today, but I don't want McDonald's for the rest of my life. That means I want this, but tomorrow I'm going to change. It's fickle. We are fickle people. We want something today, we want something different tomorrow. The whole premise of this is once we understand that we're fickle, we can't judge anybody else for changing. But we can encourage them to praise. Because God doesn't change. Y'all say amen to that. The God that walked in on the cold in the triumphant entry, speaking in tongues. Y'all didn't know this Pentecostal church, did you? The same God that walked the triumphal entry, the same God that was there, that could have made the stones cry out, is the same God who was abandoned, denied by his peers, and crucified with two thieves. There's going to be good times and bad times, and we are called to praise in all of them. I've said it before lately. I just learned that a friend of mine, she's an elderly lady, has Parkinson's. Bad Parkinson's. Her name was Rose. Her name is Rose. And she's been in a home since January, and I got a call from her husband who hasn't been able to even have any contact with her. He says, I can go to her window and I can wave at her. I will never forget. She's had a hard, hard battle with Parkinson's. Hallucinations. To the point where she has to be strapped down to a chair because she will shake herself out of it. Doctors messing up her medication. There was always something wrong. She can't eat. Her throat is twisted. A twisted esophagus. So everything that she eats has to be liquid. She craves food, but she can't have it. It's amazing to me that she has fought this battle for as long as she has. When she talks with a slur because her mouth shakes and her throat's twisted and all the words come out. You have to pay very close attention when she speaks. But when she made this statement, I about cried right then and there. She says, Preacher, I know you're going through a difficult time, but remember that flowers grow in the valley, not on the mountaintops. Because when you compare our lives, I had nothing to complain about. I was on a mountaintop. I was on Mount Everest compared to Miss Rose. But when she was able to praise and teach me to praise in the valley, listen, that was the greatest moment of my growing life as a pastor. Things can be tough, but God doesn't change. And I have a right and a privilege and a determination, a duty to praise in the difficult times. As we get ready to close, I want to ask you something. Are you praising in the difficult times? Are you praising in public? Because praise is a responsibility. It's a duty. It's what we're called to do. With every head bowed, with every eye closed,